I have a message for the people of Lebanon. Israel's war is not with you. It's with Hezbollah.
There you have Benjamin Netanyahu talking about what Israel's goal and target is in regarding the actions that they've been taking. It's not easy to watch what's taking place in the Middle East and have clarity on all of the violence, the aggression. You have to understand that on October 7th, which we're very close to the year anniversary of that, what took place in Israel is really unspeakable. And when Netanyahu is saying that their actions are aggressive towards Hezbollah, there's a lot of media spin that's going to come in between what they're doing and how we're consuming it. And all of that media spin is to help for political purposes, both foreign and abroad and home. And so we have to pay attention to what's going on. We have to educate ourselves. And that's one of the reasons why we continue to talk to Jim Carafano each week here on the Annie Frye Show, because he is our expert, the senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here with us.
And he's in Geneva.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and the Lake Geneva is big. It's like Great Lakes big. It is a big lake.
Jim, when you, yeah, well, I appreciate that. When you're watching what is taking place in the Middle East, the way that they have surgically responded to those members of Hezbollah with the pagers, with the radios, and continue right. like that. I mean, what is your reaction as somebody who studied military action for all of this time on how Israel has responded towards Hezbollah?
Yeah, and that's a great question. Actually, I'm not just skiing here. I was actually today with a world-class group of analysts, and we were actually talking about Israel. Look, if you actually looked at the Israeli actions towards Hezbollah, it was like, dude, get out of my face. All these attacks were structured to send a message to Hezbollah. It's like, dude, today is not your day. You don't want to do this. Back off. And the reason for that is not because, to be just brutally honest, because, you know, it's not because Israel doesn't want to kill every single member of Hezbollah, because I think they'd be thrilled to do that. But they know that this is going to devastate Lebanon. It's going to destabilize the country. And many innocent people will suffer. And in the end, the result will be the same. Hezbollah will rebuild. They'll get all this foreign help. The Iranians will help them. And Iran will have to, will be funding it. And Israel will have to do this again. And so they wanted to give Hezbollah every single chance to not do this to the Lebanese people. Just like they offered, you know, they didn't want to destroy Gaza. They're like, Hamas, don't do this. But you have to remember, this is really important. In the Middle East, and it's not about multiculturalism or anything else, this is a different cultural mindset. And anybody who's been around the world knows this. People around the world think and feel differently because of their historical experiences, their upbringing, their religion, everything else. In this part of the world, honor is power. And if you put out a hand and a gesture to your enemy, the response of your enemy is to cut your hand off. Mm-hmm. If you put out a fist and your enemy fears you, then they will leave you alone. And so Israel does not have a choice. When people threaten to destroy them, they have to defend themselves. Because if they don't defend themselves, the message they're sending to their enemies is, you know, come, let's have another Mossad here and, you know, a genocide against Israelis. So Israel never wanted to do this. But when they do it, they have to demonstrate that not only they're going to win and defend themselves, but they're going to punish their enemies, and their enemies are going to suffer for that. Because that's the only thing that will make their enemies leave them alone.
Yeah. You know, I think about Donald Trump repeatedly saying how he destroyed ISIS and now how they've built themselves back up again in the matter of time that he hasn't been in office. I think about Israel pushing back against Hamas and Gaza, even though the world was telling them to do otherwise. Now they're pushing back against Hezbollah. All of these bad actors being funded by Iran. I mean, is there enough that Israel can push back? Is there enough that Israel can do to end this problem for good, or is it a constant that they will have to answer to this desire that these enemies of theirs have to destroy them?
Well, you know, it's like the tide. If you don't deal with Iran, which is the absolute source of the problem, just like the moon causes the tides, Iran will fund people to kill again. You have to remember, in the end of the day, if you are the leaders and you're not killed, but if you're Hamas and Hezbollah and you're the people in charge, you have millions of dollars. You have villas and lovely places. Your kids go to the finest schools in Europe. You're not living any of the misery of the people. And these people always, you know, get more money to do this again, and they will. So unless you deal with Iran, which is the root of the problem, this is going to happen again. Everybody in the Middle East under Donald Trump was poised to move forward with the Abraham Accords, normalize relations with Israel, live together in peace, put a united front up against Iran. And, you know, Biden came in and literally threw all that out the window. And he said, no, we're going to give the Iranians everything they want, and they will cooperate. And they did the opposite. And, you know, people have to remember that literally days before this entire thing exploded in one of the most horrific series of wars that we've had in the Middle East in decades, the National Security Advisor, Joe Biden, said, look at what a great job we're doing. It's never been more peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, literally, that was so boastful and so incredibly wrong. I mean, do you think that Americans really understand how horrific October 7th was for Israel?
If you run the numbers, when you look at the size of the population, what happened to Israel was bigger than the 9/11 for America. I mean, this is, and it was so personally horrific. Look, I mean, okay, Bin Laden knocks down a building, you know, people die in the fire, the building collapses and everything else, and there's a bit of impersonality to it. Like, all we did was take down a building. I mean, you see people falling out of a building or being crushed or whatever, or dying of cancer years later. It's hard, but when you have people that personally seek out individuals to torture and murder them and rape them and take them hostage and you know, cook babies in ovens, this is gut evil, my friend. And the sad thing is, it does come back to the United States, because we knew these people were evil. You know, the United States, Biden, you know, UNRWA, which is the UN organization, which is supposedly there to help the Palestinians, right? Which Trump cut off all the money to, and Biden not only gave all the, he gave them more money, and UNRWA literally is an instrument of Hamas. The guy that runs the Gaza Teachers Union, which is funded by UNRWA, is actually a senior leader in Hamas. All the infrastructure was used, UNRWA money was used to build all the terrorist infrastructure to fight this war. I mean, look, we are complicit in genocide here, and it is all the same people in the Obama administration. It's all the same people in the Biden administration. And I'm telling you, if there is a President Harris, it will be all the same people in the Harris administration. The reality is, even if Donald Trump wins the presidency, many of the people that are the architects of trying to destroy Israel will still be in the federal government. And if somebody doesn't take them out and stop them, they will try to keep doing the stuff they're doing now.
But if Iran is the genesis of all of this, is there a reason Israel isn't going directly towards Iran? Or are they, and I missed it?
Well, look, the problem with Israel and Iran going at each other is they really can't be decisive, right? There's countries in between. They can't invade each other on the ground. They can lob bombs at each other, which won't be very decisive. And so, I mean, the likelihood of them directly coming into combat with each other, and you know, people forget this. You know, Israel does have a nuclear deterrent. So I still think that's relatively unlikely, but we're never going to break out of the cycle of death if we keep doing what we're doing. You have to stop empowering Iran. It's just that simple. It's like, how would you like to stop World War II? Don't let Adolf Hitler, you know, invade countries. You know, it's just that simple.
Jim, is Iran a nuclear power?
Well, I think by definition they are. They have all the material they need to build a bomb. They have missiles. They have the designs. They have the capability. They are literally, I think, at this point, a nuclear power in all but name.
Is does America have a role in keeping them from being a nuclear power or enabling them?
I think, yeah, it's a great question, because in the end, the decision to become a nuclear power is political. I think if they fear the United States and what the United States will do to them, that could be a very powerful deterrent from them taking that final step. Look, we have created a very, very steep requirement for the next president of the United States. But, you know, like I said, what's interesting here is, you know, people have test driven both these cars.
Right? Yeah.
They've seen foreign policy under Trump. They've seen foreign policy under Biden. They've seen the difference on the ground that it's had. And, you know, and if Trump is president, they have handed him a worse world post Biden than even was post Obama. But I personally, you know, and having actually just spent a bunch of days with people who've worked in and around him, I'm not political, but I don't think it's much of a choice.
Last question.
And the thing is
oh, go ahead.
All this stuff's over there, but it is gonna impact our lives over here.
Yeah. Jim Carafano with us right now. The question that I have for you is, and you always say this, and you've always adhered to it, you're not a political person, but obviously policy matters, and America has a choice in which direction to take come November, and both of those directions we have resumes for both of those. We've seen these people in action.
Right.
The people of Israel, the people of Gaza, the people of Lebanon, will those people, the civilians, not the terrorists, not the people involved who are exacting violence, will they be safer or in more danger if Donald Trump were to win re-election in November?
All those people would pray for Donald Trump. Not only that, I mean, you know, we have a lot of debate about Ukraine and blah, blah, blah. The people of Ukraine, and actually I was just with a bunch of people from Ukraine. The people of Ukraine, they pray Donald Trump. I swear to God. They say Putin fears Trump. Trump will step up and do something. And the people whose lives are actually on the line and are innocent and just don't want to be shot at, they looked at Donald Trump as the kind of leader that could maybe give them a future. I really honestly say that without a partisan bone in any inch of my body.
Well, I think it's important because we know that you're there, you're speaking with these people, and you have that experience. We're grateful that you share it with us, Jim. Thank you for being with us again.
All right. Thanks. Now I'm going back to Switzerland.
Yeah. Okay. You enjoy Switzerland for us. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Jim Carafano, back to Switzerland, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Isn't that an interesting thought? That the people, obviously, of Israel, but also, Brad, the people living in Gaza and the people living in Lebanon, the one who are living among the leadership of Hamas and Hezbollah, mm-hmm. the people, those terrorists that don't just terrorize other countries who they consider enemies, but also terrorize the people. They use those people as their shields. They go poke the bear and then they hide behind innocent people while the bear comes running to defend itself. Isn't it an interesting thought that Donald Trump would have all of those people living safer lives?
It's an interesting thought, but it's really, if you stop and think about it, based on what you just laid out there, you talk about the people in Ukraine and them supporting Donald Trump. It's a logical thought. War is hell. Like, I don't know. I don't understand, like, the cheerleading for war. Like, you hear this, like, Russia versus Ukraine. We got to rah, rah, rah.
Because your pocket's not getting lined
well,
by
that's,
it.
And that's just it. These people are living in wartime areas. There's bombs exploding in their backyards and in their front yards. They're seeing friends and family members dying. And what they want more than anything is for all that to stop. And you know what they do know is that it didn't happen when Donald Trump was president, and they know that it's happening under the current administration now. So that's why, to me, that makes a lot of sense if you stop and really think about it.
It's just so obvious. We need Donald Trump. The world needs Donald Trump. Even the people who won't vote for him need Donald Trump. When we come back, we're going to speak with Ben Capel, I am so excited to talk to the co-producer of a movie that I have seen, Brad and Ryan have seen, and you must see if you haven't yet. It's called Am I Racist? It's in theaters, and it is must-see production. Producer Ben is going to be on with us, and if you've seen the movie, he's one of Matt Walsh's black friends. That's how you would know him. You have to see the movie. If that sounds sketchy to you, you need to see the movie to understand why I'm referring to Ben that way. But he's going to join us on the show. We're going to talk a little bit, Am I Racist? And get the inside scoop from what it was like to be behind the scenes most of the time, a few times in front of the camera, producing the hit documentary, Am I Racist? With Matt Walsh and The Daily Wire. Ben Capel and The Annie Fry Show next.